The opinions expressed on this show do not necessarily represent those of the management of KUCI or the UC Board of Regents. For more information about this show, go to kuci.org.
Welcome, gardeners, to In the Garden, radio show hosted by UC Master Gardeners. My name is Mark Fearley, and I will be your host today on KUCI 88.9 FM in Irvine. Today our show will be at the South Coast Research Center, so we will not be in the studio, and it will be on the subject of vertebrates, and we will have a special guest today, Dr. Neve Quinn. Neve is the Vertebrates Pest Advisor for the South Coast Research Center. And welcome, Neve.
Thanks, Mark. It's great to be here.
Now, let's get this program started off right. What the heck is a vertebrate?
Well, in Southern California, we're dealing with a lot of vertebrate pests. So there's two things: what's a vertebrate and what's a pest. So I guess a vertebrate is anything that has a backbone. So it could be made of actual hard bone, or it could be made of cartilage. So it doesn't actually have to be, you know, made of bone. So, for example, if you're a member of the public of Western Australia and you're being bothered by sharks, I mean, they don't have a bony skeleton. They have a cartilaginous skeleton, but they're still considered a vertebrate pest.
So there are different types.
I guess so, yeah. So it's fish, amphibian, birds, you know, mammals like the rodents. And then a pest is something that annoys us. So not everything is a pest, you know.
I know a lot of pests.
Yeah, there's two-legged and four-legged ones.
Yes.
Yeah.
And I might even be one. But can you tell us a little bit about your background?
Sure. Well, I'm sure your listeners can tell that I'm not from around here. I'm originally from Ireland, and that's where I did all my schooling. So I went to university in the National University of Ireland in Galway, which is on the west coast of Ireland. And there I did a bachelor's degree in science, mainly in zoology. And that's kind of where I got into rodents, which is my main specialty. And then from there, I went in, it also stayed at the National University of Ireland, Galway, and I did a PhD on small mammal ecology.
I see. Now, you mentioned a little bit about rodents.
Mm-hmm.
What was your interest in rodents?
Well, at that time in Ireland, I was mainly interested in conservation, because in Ireland, we don't have that many native species. We also don't have that many introduced species either. So we have a very small number of small mammals. So I was mainly interested in conservation. For my PhD, I looked at the impact of hill sheep on small mammal population dynamics, their ecology, their breeding, their diet, things like that. But then after that, I got more into vertebrate pest management because I came here to California and I worked with the University of California up in the Central Valley. And there I did a lot of research into roof rats.
Roof rats?
Yeah.
Let me ask you about roof rats for a moment. Are roof rats dangerous to people?
Not really, no. I wouldn't kiss a roof rat. I wouldn't pick up a dead one or an alive one unless you know how. So I definitely wouldn't advise your listeners to do that. But they're not specifically dangerous. They do carry diseases. I don't think there's been a plague positive roof rat in Orange County for quite some time.
How come we have so many?
Because you guys have the best weather of anywhere I've ever been in the entire world. And with that good weather, you get a very, very good agricultural crop. So you've got loads of food available naturally, but also in the agricultural communities to feed roof rats. And because in Orange County, we don't have, you know, it's very urban where we have, you know, we have all these parks, but we also have, you know, like we used to have a lot of agriculture here, but not anymore. And that's where the roof rats would have naturally hung out. So eating citrus or maybe tomatoes or and stuff like that.
Do they eat tomatoes, actually?
They sure do, yeah. Yeah, they're definitely a problem in tomatoes. And I've had even people from Orange County calling me to ask me things that they can do to try and stop the rats eating their tomatoes.
Really?
Yeah.
And citrus?
Yeah, they like oranges, and they you can tell, you know, you can see their teeth marks in the skin of the oranges.
Okay.
Yeah.
And so they particularly care for heavy sugar products.
I guess they do. Like, I mean, they're a huge problem in almonds, which is what I did originally when I moved here. I worked in the almond orchards, and we looked at different types of bait that were good for controlling roof rats. So they were a problem in almonds and pistachios and lots of fruit and lots of nut crops.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, at least they're healthy, right?
Yeah, sure. I mean, there's loads of food for them. But now, I mean, we use this amazing bait station, and it's cylindrical, and it's got metal caps on the end of it, and it makes sure that if we use a grain bait, that the grain bait's not.
Let's talk about that.
Yeah.
In a little bit, because later on in the show, I want to get into some of the common controls for a variety of the garden pests.
Yeah.
I'm going to call them garden pests at this point, because we don't really want to eliminate something that is not a pest.
Sure, yeah.
And we might only want to control them. We may not want to eliminate them.
That's,
because they do good, don't they?
That's true. And a lot of rodents do, especially rodents, they do a lot of good work. You know, they help, you know, proliferate seeds and other crops by moving the seeds around and storing them. But a lot of the rodents in Southern California, unfortunately, now are garden pests.
Yes.
Yeah.
I know the master gardeners on our helpline, which I will give our listeners a little bit later in the program, closer to the end of the program, a helpline. And I know that we get many requests on the helpline for how do we control them. And I know giving workshops myself and other master gardeners, we often, even if it's a side issue, how can I control an issue that I have, which is maybe roof rats or some other areas? But we can get into that in a little bit here. First of all, I'd like to get a little more background information. You came to California a number of years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And did some work up in Central California in the nut areas. What was the issue up there, by chance?
Well, it was roof rats, and they were eating the almonds off the ground, off the trees. They were making burrows under trees, which is also a problem for lots of master gardeners. You know, the burrows are quite large, and they compromise the roots, and the trees can fall over. So that was the major problem there. I mean, they have all sorts of problems with vertebrate pests in Central California, but that was the main one that I was involved in.
It sounds like an interesting project.
It was. It was great, and it was nice to be out in the field all the time. But as an Irish woman, I struggled a little bit in the heat of Central California.
It is pretty hot there many times of the year, many months of the year.
Yeah.
But along with that, you have worked in other...
Yeah, sure. So after
parks around the world.
Yeah, I'm kind of an ecological hobo, you might say. I've kind of been around a bit. When I finished in California, I actually went straight to the United Kingdom, where I worked with the University of Liverpool, and there we examined some diseases in natural rodent populations. And I was there for probably only about 8 or 9 months then before I moved on to the Philippines to do some more rat work.
In the Philippines?
Yeah.
You really got in some interesting climates.
Yeah, then. That's true. So from the very hot Central Valley to the very humid tropics of the Philippines, yes. And also South Sumatra, where I did quite a lot of field work as well. So that was a really interesting project and a great place to work as well.
Well, I've been fortunate to see a presentation that you made to our own Master Gardeners a few weeks ago, and this really got me excited to see how you actually get in the field and do your work from the field, not from your desk.
Sure. I mean, that's how we solve these management issues. I mean, we might have the ideas of how to solve the problem at our desk, but we need to go out and try and test these ideas out in a scientific manner to make sure that they work. You know, whether it's a different type of a trap, whether maybe it's a repellent or like maybe a type of fence to see, does that work? I mean, all these things need to be tested to make sure that they're scientifically sound.
Very good. Now, let's maybe get into a couple of other things about you.
Mm-hmm.
When you came here, December, is that?
I started the 3rd of November.
Of 2014.
True, so I've only been here a few months.
And your responsibilities include not only Orange County, but San Diego and Los Angeles. Do you have other people that you work with that have similar backgrounds as you?
Sure. I mean, I'm really lucky to work here at the Seg Coast Research and Extension Center because our staff are excellent and really supportive. So we don't have a lot of vertebrate expertise here at the center, but across California, you know, there's quite a lot of people working with vertebrates, whether they're, you know, native wildlife like mountain lions, or whether they're rats, mice, gophers, you know, like the vertebrate pests that we would get, yes, in our gardens. So we do get quite a lot of pests all over California. And, you know, sometimes there are problems in our gardens, sometimes there are problems in agricultural fields. But my main remit down here is to deal with the urban pests.
And the urban pests are in the high population areas?
Sure, and I mean, we get human-wildlife conflict all over the state of California, but they're particularly concentrated in urban areas that back up to natural areas. So, like in Orange County, where we have all these beautiful mountain ranges, all these lovely parks, so you do get things like possums and skunks and coyotes and everything coming from all these areas and causing problems in the urban centers.
And something like a possum, we don't ordinarily think of them as being dangerous other than destructive in some areas. Is that correct?
No, it's not correct. I mean, a possum is, they're not very aggressive. I also wouldn't recommend that you try and handle one because they do have quite sharp teeth, and I've been bitten by baby possums before and that hurts. But possums carry something called flea-borne typhus.
Do they?
Yeah, and that's a huge problem in Orange County, and a lot of people aren't aware of it. But Orange County Vector Control, they do so much work to help research this problem and where it's coming from and how to control it, and also trying to educate the public about it.
Well, right there, for our listeners, we don't want to make them pets, so we want to be aware of issues that they have. So be cautious.
Definitely, yeah. And I mean, make sure that you, if you have outdoor pets like cats and dogs, you know, you want to make sure that you keep them treated with flea ointment, so your household animals don't get the fleas that often they can share with possums. Okay. And that's how, once you get bitten by the flea, that's how you contract the typhus.
I know we have a possum in our backyard,
mm-hmm,
and I just saw that some of my ripe citrus, my precious blood oranges had fallen to the ground, and I saw one of them almost hollowed out.
Mm-hmm. I mean, that's one of the things you can do to help reduce pests in your garden is things like when your fruit falls on the ground, you can pick it up, but even better, before it falls on the ground, you should harvest
it.
Yeah, and I guess the master gardeners know that, but sometimes they forget. So, and it makes a huge difference, and not only just for possums, for rats, mice, coyotes, all sorts of different pests would respond to not having that extra food source in the yard, because we want to make it not very comfortable for the pests. You know, we wanted to make it as hard, as difficult as possible for them to find food or cover in our yards.
What a wonderful tip to our listeners. And for myself, we like that, because keeping our garden clean is not only keeping the leaves and weeds out, but likewise the fruit that has fallen or the vegetables that have gotten ripe on our vines, and if we can do that, we'll give them a less of an inviting.
Exactly. Yeah, you don't want to lay out a 5-course dinner for a coyote or a possum or a rat there in your backyard when it's just easy to harvest all the fruit in and you know, not have it available for all these pests.
And when it is available, they will come and get it.
Mm-hmm. They're very resourceful, and that's why they're a problem, is because they can adapt to so many different environments, and they can inhabit, you know, inside houses, outside houses, you know, in yards, in natural areas, and they can use all of them. You know, they can go from your house to your yard to the natural area and back to your yard and all around the place.
If we could take a moment here, I'm going to just remind our listeners that, again, we are listening to 88.9 FM in Irvine, and that is KUCI. You can also listen, if you can't pick us up on the radio or are out of the county, on KUCI.org. And you can stream it on there. Just go to the KUCI.org website and pick it up, and you will enjoy an educational program every week, Thursday, 8:30 to 9:30 a.m. Okay, let's get back to it in a few minutes. Don't worry about.
Sorry.
We are. That's okay. We are not a perfect environment here, but we will have a good time, and our listeners will hear us in the real. We're not going to bleep anything out. We're just going to do it. Okay. Let's talk a little more about the vertebrates in Orange County and some of the common ones. Things like we spoke already a little bit about roof rats. Let's go to them first as far as controls other than keeping clean.
Okay, well, things like keeping clean don't just work for rats, they work for everything. So that's what's great about what we call sanitation. But you can do things like habitat modification as well. So not only just keeping, you know, your trash covered or your pet food covered or in at night, because a lot of rodents come out at night. So it's good to, if you do feed your pet outside, to take its food inside at night if it doesn't finish it. If you have a dog that guzzles down its food, then it's going to be okay to leave its bowl out there. But
so we're vulnerable at night with food.
Exactly.
Pet food. Particularly.
Particularly, because it's just that extra resource, you know, and it's high nutrition value, and it's easy for the rats to get. So that's one thing. But like I said, habitat modification. So keeping your yard neat and not having a load of cover for rats. So things where they can hide in, like log piles, or having lots of ivy on your wall or your fence. Rats love to hide in there, loads of cover for them. And not having things like that makes our yard less inviting for not only just rats, but for everything that could possibly be a vertebrate pest. Because everything can hide in cover, but if you have no cover, nothing can hide. So we can make our yard less inviting by cleaning up the food and cleaning up our yard, but as in like taking away a lot of the heavy cover. So a lot of the bushes and the things that would create a canopy.
Things that get overgrown over.
Yeah,
a
overgrown.
Of time.
True. Yeah, and those things take a lot of watering as well, and we don't want to waste water in California. So it's good to have, you know, nice open spaces where these animals can't hide, particularly things like rats. They love to be in ivy and things like that they can hide in.
Gotcha. And as far as that goes, don't forget, listeners, we can also replace those with some beautiful flowers.
Exactly. Yeah, there's always an alternative, and the master gardeners certainly have a lot of the answers when it comes to alternative plants for saving water and for not inviting pests into
your
garden.
How about traps?
Well, there are so many traps. I mean, for rats, there's quite a lot you can get at the store, you know, at your hardware store or your farm store. I mean, I have certain preferences. I like the kind of the newer traps that have a bait recess in them. So that means that you can actually sink the bait below the treadle of the trap. And it's harder for the rat to, I guess, steal the bait without triggering the trap, if that makes sense.
It does to
yeah.
me.
So it's that's why I like those traps, because, and they're also super easy to set. They're way easier to set than the wooden traps. Because they just have a fancy mechanism where you push down the treadle and it clips on. So it's not like the old trap where you have to take the old bar over it, and it's all very fiddly. And
remember those very well.
Yeah, and they can.
I might even have a few of them.
Yeah, I mean, I have them too. They still work, but it's just not my preference is for the newer ones with the bait recess. Because your bait should be small. You should have a high protein source, things like coconut or peanut butter and oats, but it shouldn't be a huge amount of bait, because you don't want the rat to be able to reach in and take the bait away without actually standing on the trap. And the bigger the amount of bait, the closer it is to the edge of the trap, and the rat can, they're clever animals, you know, they can come in and pinch it. One thing about roof rats though, Mark, is that they do like to climb. So we have two species of rats that can be vertebrate pests. Actually, we have three, but two that are main major ones, and that's the roof rat and the Norway rat. And lucky enough, in Orange County, we don't seem to have that many Norway rats at all. I mean, one hasn't been actually captured here for a really long time, so we're not.
I guess they couldn't get a visa.
Yeah, yeah. So I don't know why there are no Norway rats here. I mean, we do have them in other parts of California. They have them, lots of them in LA County. I mean, it's not like they don't exist, but for some reason, not so many in Orange County. But the difference is the niche level that they occupy. So the niche is where in space. You know, where do they occupy? And
yes.
In for roof rats, it's up high, usually, and for Norway rats, it's down low. So when you're controlling Norway rats, it's important to think like a Norway rat. So set your traps up higher, maybe on the top of a wall. You can actually, they like to climb up posts. So if you have like rats in your attic, for example, you can actually nail the wooden ones. This is when the wooden ones are good. You can actually nail the wooden ones to beams on there that are vertical beams.
Yes.
And when the rat runs up them, it will go over the treadle. Yeah, and if you want to, the good things about setting traps is that if you do set them correctly, they can be very effective. Sometimes it's time consuming because you do need to set. If you have a big problem, you do need to set a lot of traps. And if you go onto the UCIPM website and look at the rat pest note, it gives excellent advice on how to set traps.
Do you know that website right offhand?
I do not know. Sorry, Mark.
Okay.
Yeah.
But just go to...
If you just Google UCIPM and all the pest notes come up, and they're an excellent resource.
And note pests.
Yeah.
for the website.
Yeah, all the vertebrate pests, yeah. So it's really easy to find, okay. Yeah.
That can help because we normally like to solve our own problems
for
the most part.
And those pest notes, Mark, are available for all types of pests. So not just vertebrate pests, but invertebrate pests and also diseases mm-hmm. as well. So, but the vertebrate pest section is excellent. We have information on the rats and the mice and the gophers and you name it. There's information about everything there and it's very sound. Lots of it's scientifically proven. So it's very helpful.
Very good. And that's one of the keys to the Master Gardener program. Ours is always research-based mm-hmm. information.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why we're so fortunate to have Dr. Neve Quinn here today again, ladies and gentlemen. She is a research scientist who is really active, and we're lucky to have her talking with us and as a resource in our county. So let's go on a little bit. We talked a little bit about the roof rat traps.
Mm-hmm.
Availability
mm-hmm.
it would be from home improvement centers?
Sure, like so things like your Lowe's or your Home Depot's or your farm stores, they're all going to have rat traps. If you have a huge problem, you can get them on the internet. I don't know any particular sites, but sometimes you might get like a good deal for like 10 traps in a bundle, which you don't usually get at your home improvement stores. They're usually sold singly. Yeah. So, but there's also other methods available. I mean, we used to have quite a range of toxic baits available to use in California, but a lot of them have been restricted in recent times.
Does that mean restricted to the general public?
Sure.
Or only can be used by certified professionals?
That's exactly what it means. It means that now some of these products are not available to buy in places like your home improvement stores, and only your pest control operators that are licensed to use these products, they can use them now. So, very good.
We have some other major areas of pests in the vertebrate family, mm-hmm. and they would be pests like squirrels, you know, the beautiful squirrels that we see, rabbits that seem to be able to multiply quickly, and they seem to go in streaks. One year it'll be very few, the next year all over the place. Possums. Anything else that comes to mind?
Sure. Well, I mean, that's a whole range of problems there in Southern California. But one of the most, I guess, most prominent issues at the minute is coyotes in urban areas. I mean, in the newspapers, they're there all the time, you know, in the OC Register. They're in the news in San Diego and in LA County all the time. You know, they're very much the fore of people's consciousness at the minute.
It does the drought have anything to do with that, as far as you know? I don't know if there's been any research done in that area.
I don't know of any research that's done to see, does the drought affect, I guess, coyote presence in Southern California. But a lot of it is to do with food resources. So all those reasons that we talked about for having, you know, rats in your yard, like having more food or uncovered trash or having lots of cover, all those things will are encouraging coyotes into our neighborhoods. And also there's quite a lot of cats and little dogs, and they're easy prey for coyotes, so they don't have to expend a lot of energy to catch or to get to an uncovered trash can. So they it's an easy food resource for them, so they don't actually waste energy running after like a rabbit or some small rodents, which is what they would normally eat in wilderness areas. They can come to the trash can and get Burger King and KFC and your dog food and your cat.
Good food.
Yeah.
Well, that's interesting. And any interesting advice on the common pests like squirrels and rabbits?
Well, rabbits are difficult to control, and you kind of touched on it there earlier that they're very prolific. You know, they breed a lot, you know. So they are quite difficult to control. There's no toxicants available currently to control rabbits. So one of the best tools we have at the minute is exclusion. And exclusion means just keeping them out of your yard. And you can do several measures, but one of the best things is to make a fence. But you need to bury that fence because rabbits can dig. So when you do erect a fence, there's no point using like a picket fence or anything like that. They can squeeze through the holes. If they can't squeeze through the holes, they'll make a hole under the fence. So you need to get something like hardware cloth.
Hardware cloth. How about small chicken wire?
Something like small chicken wire would probably work as well, as long as it's strong enough and it's not going to bend, you know?
And how deep?
Probably maybe a foot is probably enough, but if you can, maybe go a bit deeper. And obviously,
it's probably hard to get deeper
than a foot. Yeah, but like you need to make sure that it comes up a good distance as well, because rabbits can jump as well, so they're kind of like little gymnasts. They can jump over and they can dig under, so
yes,
they're fairly hard to control.
And for raised beds, can often build a very simple chicken wire cover.
Mm-hmm, that's true. Yeah.
To save your vegetables, for example, mm-hmm. Normally we don't plant citrus or fruit, other than some, in a raised bed. But I know a fence, building a cover, helps a lot in those areas.
And for raised flower beds, you can also have, you can put the hardware cloth underneath as well, and that will help stop things like gophers coming through the bottom of your raised bed.
Gophers and weeds.
Yeah, exactly. So it's multi-purpose.
We'll cover everything.
Yeah.
Very good. Neve, I'm going to take another little break here. I've got to do some business here. And that is, again, listeners, this is KUCI 88.9 FM in Irvine. And I am also going to talk to you about, if I can find my notes here, hang on 1 second, and this is the opinions expressed on this show do not necessarily represent those of the management of KUCI or the Board of Regents. And for more information, go to KUCI.org. Okay, that part of our business is done. Now, let's go on a little bit. Possums, we talked a little bit about possums. Gophers, how about gophers?
Mm-hmm. Well, gophers are certainly a problem for a lot of master gardeners and people that are not master gardeners. And they're subterranean. They live below the ground. So sometimes they're not detected all the time. But when they are there, it's easy to see because, you know, they leave these mounds behind. And that's one of the major problems, I guess, that people have, is because these mounds, they tear up people's lawns. You know, they're a problem in the turf, and they cause a lot of issues. They're dangerous. You know, people step in holes, they trip over the mounds. Gophers are a big problem.
Yes. And what, do you have any suggestions about controlling them?
Sure. Well, one of the main things about gophers is that you need to, once you see a mound in your yard, excuse me, you need to get onto it really quickly. You don't want to wait until there's 50 mounds in your yard. once there's one mound in your yard, that's enough. You know, you need to make sure that you get in there and you trap the gopher. And back to the home improvement stores, there's traps available there that you can use to trap the gopher. And if you, once again, back to the UCIPM pest notes, there's actually videos on the gopher pest note that shows you how to set traps. Because some of them are quite tricky, you know, there's quite a lot of bits to a gopher trap. So some of them are tricky enough to set. And there's quite a few traps available. You know, you've got the Gophinator, you've got the Maccabee, you've got the Victor, you've got the Black Hole, you've got the Cinch Trap. I mean, there's five traps already there. You know, there's so many traps.
Could you repeat those again?
Sure, the Gophinator, the Maccabee, the Victor, the Black Hole, and the Cinch. And I mean, there's probably other ones available too, but they're...
But those are the most common and the best as far as you...
Yeah, I mean, gopher trapping is quite trapper dependent. So I wouldn't lose heart once you start trapping gophers if you don't get them straight away. It does take a few goes and a few traps to make you more proficient.
What do we do with them after we've trapped them? Are they dead?
Yeah, all the traps are kill traps. They usually some sort of a snap mechanism or like a swinging arm that will kill the gopher almost immediately. Gophers don't tend to carry a lot of diseases, but they still are a wild animal, so they still can be dangerous. So if you're handling a carcass, and I'd say this with any dead animal, you should wear gloves. Whether it's nitrile or latex, depending if you have any allergies or anything, you know, you should wear something that protects you against the risk of diseases.
But how do we dispose of them?
Put them back in the ground and just cover them over. I mean, that's a good way. Or wrap them in newspaper, put them in a trash bag, and put them in your trash. You know,
the important thing is, don't just put them in your trash. Put them in a trash bag.
Exactly. You know, you don't they any kind of mammal like that. It'll start to decompose after a few days, and if your trash isn't being collected, you're gonna have one bad stink in your trash can.
Gotcha.
You don't want that.
Not unless your mother-in-law is coming over, right? Okay. Well, we will go on here. I'm just going to say we've got a little more time left, probably about 10 minutes or so, but we've covered a number of areas of our common vertebrates that impact Orange County. Now, can you give our listeners and myself, because I'm a listener too, but I'm fortunate enough to ask you some questions. Can you expand on an area that you have found so far? And I know you've only been here for a number of months, but you have an extensive, enviable record. Worldwide, almost, that you can tell us that will help our listeners, might be even interesting for them. Are there any areas you would like to discuss?
Well, I've lots of plans for things I would like to do here in Orange County. One of the major things as a new advisor that we have to do here in the university is we have to do a needs assessment survey. So we have to know the needs of these urban areas, especially in Southern California, but it is important for the whole of California to know where to direct my research. Now, I already have some ideas of the problems that are in Southern California, and I mentioned one, the coyotes. And there's no real plan of what to do with the coyotes. You know, people need to be responsible. You know, it's our problem as well. You know, the coyotes are in our areas, or we're in their areas, however you look at it. But it's our responsibility to keep them wild. So I would like to look at things like hazing coyotes. I would like to write a management plan to help cities deal with problem coyotes. You know, when to react and how to react to problem coyotes, which is a huge problem, because currently the only reaction we get to problem coyotes is when they bite someone. And that's too late, as far as I'm concerned. I mean, it shouldn't get to the stage where a coyote is so aggressive that it is biting someone. And maybe your listeners are aware that in the 1980s, a small child was actually killed by a coyote in LA County, I think in Glendale, maybe. So the coyote issue is definitely something that I would like to look at. And we've steps in motion to get a management plan put together, but also reforming the Southern California Urban Wildlife Management Council, which is a group consisting of a range of different people from different backgrounds. So whether they're from University of California Cooperative Extension or UC Davis, we have people from, you know, the private industry involved, people from the airports, from the Ag Commissioner's offices, from vector control and fish and wildlife and public health, and all these agencies that are all involved in controlling vertebrate pests, or working with you know, wild populations that may even be affected by the control of vertebrate pests.
Like small farms.
Small farms.
Large farms.
Exactly, yeah. You know,
they're all interested.
Exactly, but there's no forum currently in Southern California to bring all these groups together. So that is my plan to bring.
You've got a lot on your plate.
I do, yeah. And I mean, it's all coming together. You know, I've invited a lot of people and there's a lot of interest, and it's great to work with all these different agencies because we all are stakeholders in our community. So we want to work together to come up with solutions that would help master gardeners be in more control of the pests that are around.
Well, this is an area that it's so wonderful to see how our public dollars are spent to provide benefits to all of us here. So oftentimes, doesn't seem that way, but this is something that is beneficial to our backyard gardeners, our large farms, our small farms, everybody who lives here, and the food resources that we are enhancing.
Yeah.
Those are good public dollars to put these magnificent brains with all their experience together. We appreciate what you're doing, I can tell you that.
Well, I'm delighted to be doing it. I mean, it's a great opportunity for me. Like I said, I'm not from here, you know, and it's sometimes difficult for me to understand what every agency does here. I think even for the master gardeners that have been here for their whole lives, they don't even understand what some of the different agencies do. So
I guarantee that.
So it's great to have, it'll be great to have everyone in a room that, you know, we have a lot of common interests, and, you know, we want to solve these human wildlife conflicts, and we want to learn how to coexist with nature and have, you know, create a balance.
Wonderful. Keep on going. I love what you're talking about, and I know our listeners certainly do. Now let's go on. We've talked about tips. You've given some good advice on the website and some good advice on who you are actually dealing with, who you're working with, and the various counties that you're going along. What do you see in the future for it with some of the common, for example, the roof rats or the rats? Do you think we will ever be able to properly control them or eliminate them?
I think control is the word you have to use, because it's almost impossible to eliminate.
They've been around a while, haven't they?
Yeah, I mean, and they are also very good breeders, and it's things like their high reproductive rate, their size and their behavior that make them so difficult to eradicate. You know, there's so many of them. If you just leave one behind, one roof rat can breed four times a year. It can have up to 8 in a litter. And those young become sexually mature at 12 weeks.
Wow.
So then,
just add that up.
So if there was half of those in the first litter bred, that would be 160 rats from one female rat. So that's why it's so difficult to say that we could ever eradicate them. Management, yes. I mean, you want to get something like 70% control to say that you have an effective control. So if we were doing a project to test a new rodenticide or a new product or something like that in a field setting, we would want to make sure that we're actually controlling the pests to a high level before we'd recommend something for use. Because if you just get 10% of your pests, well, it's kind of a waste of your resources because you're putting more effort into killing the rats than you are getting back. So you're technically wasting your money by wasting your time. So eradication, no. Control, yes.
Education.
Oh, education is huge.
Beyond what you and your colleagues are doing to create a cooperative situation where we can all
true and
work at it.
And it's what's very important is that the resources that we have for pest control are very limited. So it's important that the ones that we have left, that we use them responsibly and we don't misuse rodenticides. So they will, you know, kill non-targets. That's something we definitely don't want to happen. So we need to use them responsibly as it says on the label. So if it's one that's used in a residential area, only use it in a residential area, usually within 50 feet of a building and always in a bait station. So these things are very important, and it's important as for us that we use these properly so that they're not taken away from us, because once these products are taken away, it's going to become more difficult to control rodents. So we need to be responsible as consumers and as master gardeners that we use these products correctly and as they're intended to.
Neve, do you expect that you will, beyond your research responsibilities, be doing workshops at all?
Sure, definitely.
For the public?
Yeah, I mean, I've already hosted a workshop in a community garden at UC Irvine.
Did you?
And I think that went really well. I hope that some of your listeners maybe attended. And I'm always delighted to help out the master gardeners. But yeah, I'd love to run some workshops, probably some advanced training with John Kabashima. So that would be great. But also maybe a general vertebrate pest workshop that all the master gardeners could attend with information on biology, ID, control, things like that.
But I can see that as being a part of our ongoing education mm-hmm. program, which is what the master gardeners are all about, getting the information, the research-based information out to the public to help solve the problems that come up along these lines. Neve, I think you have given us a wonderful bit of education today, and thank you for taking your time to do this.
No worries. It's great to be able to help out the master gardeners.
And for our listeners' benefit, I've got some information for you as we wrap up our program. Our website for the Master Gardeners is www.ucccemg.com. And I also promised you our hotline help website. Now, this can be used by anybody in Orange County that has an issue that they need to solve. And very soon on our In the Garden radio program, we are going to be covering some of the most frequent questions we are getting on a seasonal basis. Sometimes it involves getting plants started. Sometimes it involves citrus. many times because of the drought, we are running into issues with trees and the way trees are maintained and watered. But our hotline is hotline, one word, hotline, at uccemg.com. I'll repeat that for you. Hotline at uccemg.com. You have an issue? Send those. You will get a research-based answer from our wonderful scientists and horticulturists here at University of California Cooperative Extension. We will wrap this up now. Neve, again, thank you so much for taking your time. I know you have a very, very busy schedule with three counties under your jurisdiction, and we wish you the best of luck in what you're doing. And again, thank you for listening to us.
Thank you, Mark.
If you have any questions about today's show, or if you have any general gardening questions that you'd like a personalized answer for, please feel free to visit our hotline and send us an email at hotline@uccemg.com. You can also visit the Master Gardener website at www.uccemg.com for lots of good information on gardening, and also a schedule of events where we'll be speaking.